Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to be with you guys. I feel like half of the place left. So many kids around here. It's crazy. Well, good morning. It's great to be with you guys, and good to see you. Good to be back at GCF. I've been here this weekend with the leadership team. Ned Berube and I are here just investing in the leadership team, encouraging them. I get to travel all over the world and work with leadership teams in Africa and Europe and the U.S. I don't get to say this everywhere, so I'm not just blowing smoke, but your leadership team is pretty amazing, and some of the reasons they're amazing is because they genuinely love God, and they love you, and they love each other, and they are so for you guys, and I'm just so grateful for them. And I think it's just great to have a team like that. And again, I don't get to say it everywhere, but it's really, really true here. And so anyway, today's Pentecost Sunday.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. It's been a little bit Pentecostal in here today. It's been awesome. It's great. Love it. Love it. I'm wearing my Rwandan shirt from my friend William Kanunu. And I'm so grateful. Some of you really dressed up too with your stuff. So maybe lean over to somebody and say, "Hey, you're looking great today." All right, just tell somebody you're looking great today. All right. You know, Pentecost is when we celebrate the Spirit of God coming to Earth for all people. For those of us who are Americans, sometimes we need to be reminded of that. God is not an American. I don't know if you know that. He's not. He's way bigger than that.
Amen.
And he is for all people everywhere, and it's beautiful to be able to celebrate that. Today I want to do a message called The Invite to the Light. Everybody say light. The Invite to the Light. And God is continually inviting us into His light. Part of what Pentecost is God bringing His presence, the Holy Spirit, to draw us into His light. And God is always inviting us into the light. In fact, Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 12, He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Let's pray and we'll talk about all this and kind of unpack it. Father, thank You so much for the way that You love us. Thank You that You are the light of life. Thank You that You invite us into light and that You call us to invite others into the light as well. Thank You that You are pure and authentic and genuine and You don't hide and there's no darkness in You at all. You are light. And God, I pray that our lives and our relationships would reflect the light of Christ. We're so grateful to be Your kids, and we just ask that You would speak to us today and help us to hear Your voice. In Jesus' strong, life-changing name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the very first words that we have recorded in Scripture that God said are in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and He says, "Let there be," say it with me,
light.
And here's an underlying principle I want to work from throughout this whole talk today. And the principle is simply this: God operates in the light, and the enemy operates in the darkness. God operates in the light, the enemy operates in the darkness. When we step into the light, we're stepping into God's territory. When we're hiding, when we're not authentic, when we're not genuine, when we're living in the past rather than living in the present, we are living in the darkness, which is oftentimes, you could say, is the enemy's territory. We're stuck in things that we're not bringing into the light of Christ where He can heal us and make us whole, and we end up stuck in these dark places that we really don't want to be. I want to push that metaphor of light out just a little bit. And I want to kind of help us think about it, because you can think, oh, God is light, and that means that, you know, we kind of get this picture like a medieval art piece, and, you know, everybody's got shining lights around their heads, you know. That's not the light of Christ, okay? Nobody walks around with a glowing light around their head, okay? That's not what He's talking about at all. So let's push this metaphor out just a little bit more and think about, what does light actually do? What does light actually do? So I want to give you two attributes of light. The first one is this: light dispels darkness and reveals what is hidden. Light dispels darkness and reveals what is hidden. Think about this. How many of you have ever been, you wake up in the middle of the night and you just got, you got to get up and you got to go to the bathroom, or you got to go to the kitchen, you know? You know what I mean? You wake up in the middle of the night, you got to do that. It's dark, you don't want to wake anybody else up or whatever, or you just forget to turn the light on or whatever. You're walking to wherever you're going to walk to, and you trip over something, or worse yet, you stub your toe. Anybody ever done what I'm just describing right now? Me too. I have done that. But here's what's crazy about light. Just a little bitty, and think about in that same scenario, a little bitty nightlight that barely puts out any light at all would reveal all those things that you're tripping over. That's what light does. Light reveals what is hidden and just brings it out, and you can see it now. Here's another thing about light. It doesn't take much light to make a big difference. I mean, not much light at all. Just a little bit of light makes a massive difference. How many of you have ever been to New Mexico? Anybody ever been to New Mexico? You guys live in Ohio, so not many of you. All right, but it's a long way away. A few of you. Well, in New Mexico, there's this place called Carlsbad Caverns. You ever heard of that? Carlsbad Caverns outside of Carlsbad, New Mexico. And Carlsbad Caverns is a fascinating place. By the way, if you ever get a chance, go to New Mexico and see Carlsbad Caverns, and then drive a little further west and go see the Grand Canyon. Yeah. You want to talk about a worshipful experience. You will be like, there is a God. There is a God. And so anyway, one time I was at Carlsbad Caverns, and it's beautiful. There's all these stalactites and stalagmites, and then they come together and they form columns. There's kind of a picture of what some of it looks like. And it's beautiful, it's stunning, you know, absolutely phenomenal. And here's what's crazy about Carlsbad Caverns. It's not just a little cave, not like you're spelunking or however you say that, you know, and you're just kind of slipping through little space. No, it's massive. Like, I don't know if you've ever been to Minneapolis, where Ned lives outside of Minneapolis, near St. Paul, really. But in Minneapolis, St. Paul, they have the Vikings football team stadium. If yeah, what do they say? What do they say? Skull, Ned. Anyway, if you ever walk into a stadium like that, it is huge, and you would get a sense of what Carlsbad Caverns is like. I mean, it's massive, massive, massive. Well, we were in there one time with our family, and they were taking us around, showing us all the stuff, and it was really beautiful, and it was all lit up and everything. And then the tour guide said, okay, brace yourselves. We're going to change the setting. And they turned the lights off. If you've never experienced that, you've never experienced darkness. You might have thought you've experienced darkness. I mean, you literally cannot see the outline of your hand right in front of your face. You're blinking your eyes. You're trying to get them to adjust so you can see something to give you some comfort. There is nothing. You literally cannot see anything. And then the tour guide does this. He pulls out a little bitty Bic lighter. You know those little bitty lighters? And he lights it, and it's a flame about that tall. Now imagine the room I described to you, how big I'm talking about. He lights this little bitty lighter, and your eyes immediately go to the flame, and he says, don't look at the flame, look past the flame, and the room starts to illuminate. This massive room gets illuminated by this little bitty flame that small. That's how powerful light is. A little bit of light goes a long way. A little bit of light dispels all the darkness around it. It doesn't take much light to make a really, really big difference. Just a little bit of authenticity. Just a little bit of opening yourself up, just a little bit of genuine conversation dispels a whole bunch of darkness and confusion and distraction. So I want to look at our main passage for today. It's 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And I'm going to be reading from the ESV, English Standard Version. If you got a Bible app or something, you could look it up or open your Bible or whatever. It's also on the screen. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And this is what John says in this passage. He says, "This is the message we have heard from him," that is Jesus. "This is the message we have heard from Jesus and proclaimed to you, that God is," say it with me, "light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." In other words, God is fully transparent. Everything is revealed. He doesn't hold back. He's not hiding anything. He's not worried. I hope they don't ask that question. None of that. God is light. And there is no darkness. There's no shadow side to God. There's no, man, I hope they don't find out about that. There's none of that in him. He is fully transparent. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we... This is a hard saying, so I'm going to explain it. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say that we have this great relationship with God, but we're hiding things and we're living in the darkness, and we're not open, and we're not truthful, and we're not genuine, we're not authentic, we're not fully ourselves, then we really don't understand what it means to be in relationship with the God of light. That's what he's saying. We've kind of missed the point. And he goes on, he kind of gives us the solution to that, but he says, but there's hope, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, two things happen. Watch this. Two things happen when we open ourselves up. We become vulnerable. We become transparent. We allow the light of Christ into our lives. Two things happen. We have fellowship with one another. In other words, our relationships with other people get better. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. But just think about that part about, man, if we step into the light as he is in the light, our relationships get better. We have fellowship with one another. Isn't that the opposite of what we think? Like we think, man, if they knew that about me, they would reject me. If I shared that part of my story, they're in. I don't know. They'll know. And so what do? We hide. We hide in the darkness because we're afraid. And guys, the darkness is the enemy's territory. That's where he can just twist us up and make us think we're horrible and terrible and we carry all this shame and all this. Ah! And God says, come in the light with me. And my experience with most people, not everybody, but most people, when you make yourself vulnerable, when you step into the light, when you're genuine, when you're authentic, when you're real, most people are drawn to you rather than repelled by you. It has been said many times, people are... They recognize and they acknowledge and they're impressed by your accomplishments, but they're drawn to your struggle. That's what John's saying here. When we are genuine, when we're real, people are like, me, you feel that way sometimes? Me too. You struggle with that? Me too. Me too. This is what happens in our lives when we open ourselves up, but what do we do? We're like Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned. We're going to go hide and cover up. And God's like, hey, come back in the light with me. Come back. Hey, Adam, Eve, where are you? Come back in the light. He invites us back into the light every time because that's where freedom is. That's where life is. That's where the joy of the Lord is. That's where God works in our lives. Look at the last part of this. What else happens when we step in the light? The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That word cleanses there is a really cool word. In the Greek, it's katharos. It means to cleanse, to purge, to purify. It's where we get our English word cathartic from. And think about that. Isn't that true? Like when we open up to someone, isn't it cathartic? When we go to God and we reveal ourselves to him, we say, God, I know you already know this anyway, but, no, and we tell him what's going on in our hearts, it's cathartic. It heals us, it purges us, it cleanses us when we step into the light, because that's where God operates and the enemy operates in the darkness. That's why when we're hiding things and we're living in the darkness, the enemy is working us over and just tearing our hearts out, because we're carrying it on our own in the dark. And God is inviting us into the light. I'm going to say this a different way. God will only heal what you are willing to reveal. It's only when we step into the light, when we're honest or open about our stuff, that God can begin to heal us, because when we step in the light, that's his territory. But when we hide, he's not going to force us into the light. He just invites us into the light. He's a gentleman. If you want to stay in the darkness with your stuff, you can. You just don't need to. And there's freedom in the light. There's joy. There's connection with God and with others when we step into his light. Jesus is constantly inviting us out of darkness into the light of relationship with him and others, because the light is where the freedom is. And remember what Paul said in Galatians? It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. This is God's heart for all of us. He wants us free, not bound up and hiding in the darkness. Well, if that's true and that's what God really wants, then why do we miss it so often? Why do we spend so much time in the darkness? What keeps us from living in the light? I want to share two. We could talk about a lot of different things. I want to share two emotions that keep us hiding in the darkness, and I think this might be helpful for us. And what do we actually do with this? Two emotions that keep us hiding in the dark. The first one is anger. Everybody say anger.
Anger.
I get angry sometimes. Anybody else? Like, anger's actually not sin, by the way. Those of you who don't know, it's not. It's a natural human reaction to situations that happen in our lives. Like, I'm not, like, I used to be an angry person. I'm not really generally an angry person anymore, but I still get angry when I get behind the wheel. Anybody else? Like, have you noticed all the stupid idiots out there driving? Oh, man, I can get so angry just like that. I can go from calm. I can be in the car worshiping God and bam, I'm mad. You know what I mean? And anger in itself is not a sin. It's what we do with that anger that determines whether it becomes sin or not and whether it's damaging in our lives or not. In fact, the Apostle Paul said it this way in Ephesians 4. He said, be angry, to which I say hallelujah. Be angry and do not sin. So sin, anger is not a sin. It's what we do with the anger. And do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. He's reconfirming what we talked about earlier. God operates in the light. The enemy operates in the darkness. When we let anger fester inside of us in the darkness, it gets worse, not better. Now, here's the thing about anger. Anger is the emotion that never stands alone. Anger is always tied to hurt or fear, or perceived hurt or perceived fear. Anger never stands alone. I used to really struggle with anger a lot. That's a long story, but this truth I'm telling you right now was so freeing for me, because I was like, oh my gosh, now I actually know where my anger is coming from. I can actually deal with it. It's either coming from hurt or fear. Every time you get angry, you're either feeling hurt or you're feeling fear, And that's what it's rooted in, and that helps you actually deal with it if you're willing to step in the light and be honest about the fact that you're hurt or you're afraid. But it's really vulnerable to do that, because if I'm angry, I just want to be angry. I don't want to admit to you that I'm hurt or I'm afraid. That's so vulnerable, isn't it? That's like takes a lot of humility. But there's so much power there, and there's so much freedom there when we're willing to step into the light when we get angry. I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. So I have an incredible wife, wonderful person, but she's imperfect like all of us, and she gave me permission to share this story. So don't think bad of her, but it was just one of those days. You know what I mean? And so one day, this was several months ago, we have an acre that we live on and 30 trees on that acre. It's a lot to deal with. So this one day I worked about 4 hours outside. She was gone somewhere. I trimmed a bunch of trees, mowed the yard, weed-eated, cleaned up all the tree limb. You know, it's all the things, you know, all the stuff. I was so tired when I got done, and went in the house, took a shower. About the time I got out of the shower, she came home. I said, "Hey, babe, come out on the back patio and look at my work." And I was so excited. I wanted her to see it. And we walked down the back patio, and she goes, "Oh, yeah, and we also need to do this, we need to do that, and we need to do this, we need to do that." Every time I tell this story and she's present, she cries because she's, "I can't believe I did that." Anyway, she says, "I need to do this, we need to do that." I got so angry. I mean, immediately, I was PO'd. I was really, really upset. Really angry. So angry that I'm not saying anything right now, because if I say anything, it's going to be really, really bad. And you know, when you're really close with someone and they get angry, you can feel it. You know, even they don't say anything. Because we're emotional and spiritual beings, that's why that happens. So she's feeling it, you know, and I can feel the ice and the distance coming between us. And I didn't care. I was mad. I know this stuff I'm talking to you about. So I was like, "You know what? I'm going in the house." I went in the house. And I was like, okay, Jesus, what am I hurt about? What am I afraid of? And immediately it was very clear. I'm hurt because she didn't acknowledge what I had done before she dove into all the things I still needed to do, which were not untrue, by the way. I just needed some acknowledgement that, you know, I'm human like the rest of us. And so it hurt my heart. But I can't just go to her and dump that on her, because that's just going to make things worse. I need a way to come back to her and be vulnerable without like piling on. And he gave me this little phrase. And so I go back to her, and I said, this was, I don't know, sometime later. I can't remember the time frame. I went back to her and I said, "Hey, I'm sorry I reacted." And I was really angry because, you know, and I just told her, I said, it hurt, you know, that, you know, you started with what I hadn't done rather than what I had done. And so please forgive me. And she's like, "I'm so sorry." And then I said, here's the thing. And this was the thing. This is the difference between just being transparent and being vulnerable. I said, I looked her in the eye. And all you guys are going to get this. I looked her in the eye and I said, "Hey, babe, sometimes I just want to be your hero." And she got misty-eyed, and I got misty-eyed. And we had this little cry moment. And she looked at me and she goes, "I get that. I get that." And we hugged, and the evening just got better. Anyway, but here's the thing. Without vulnerability, you don't get intimacy. We want our relationships to be close, just kind of out of, because we want them to be close. There's no intimacy without vulnerability. You want to be closer to someone in your life? You want to be closer to God? It requires stepping into the light in a way that's vulnerable, that says, "Man, here's where I'm really at. Here's what's really going on. I'm not going to couch it. I'm not going to frame it. I'm not going to make it, you know, all this or that. I just sometimes want to be your hero. Or I just sometimes just need you to say you love me. Or I just want to be your friend. Or I just want to be closer to you. Or whatever the phrase is, but somehow humbling ourselves enough to step fully into the light and be fully present with the other person allows us to take our relationship to the next level, and it's risky, isn't it? But here's the thing, there's no passion without risk. You want your relationship with God to go to the next level? Sometimes people come to me, they're like, man, I'm just kind of stagnant in my relationship with God. It's just kind of stale. It's kind of boring. Every time somebody says that to me, I'm like, when is the last time you took a risk with God? When is the last time you stepped out in faith, and if God didn't come through, you're going to fall flat on your face? Because if you do that, your prayers are going to be very passionate. You won't have a problem with stagnation. But it's so risky to be vulnerable because we've all been hurt. But at some point, guys, at some point we have to push past our hurt, first of all with God, and say, God, I'm just going to be fully vulnerable with you. You already know everything anyway. I'm going to go there with you. And then we have to do that with other people. If we want real relationship, we all want more connection. We're hardwired for connection. And when we don't have it, there is suffering. And so many of us are living isolated lives. We have people all around us and we're isolated. The only way you move in the opposite spirit of that is to be vulnerable. And it's risky and it's painful and it's hard, but it's so powerful. I don't have time to do the other emotion, but I'll just say this about it. The other emotion that keeps us from being vulnerable and stepping in the light is shame. And shame is so unhelpful. It's the wicked step cousin to guilt. Guilt is actually healthy. We do something wrong, you feel guilty, and you can make it right. Shame is, I did something wrong, and that means that's who I am. You lied, therefore you are a liar. You stole that, don't tell anybody because they will never love you because they'll think you're a thief. That's what shame does to us, and it keeps us locked down. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation, that's the synonym for the word shame, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he's already forgiven you. Because you're a child of God. Because no matter what you ever, whatever you ever do, he will love you. Amen. You're his son or you're his daughter. That is your identity, not what you did or your past or what somebody else did to you in your past or what somebody else said about you. That's not your identity. What he says about you, that's your identity. You are a son or a daughter of the King of the universe, which, by the way, makes you a prince or a princess in the kingdom of heaven. You are not that thing you did or that thing that was done to you. You're a son or a daughter, a prince or a princess. That's your identity. So I want to finish with this challenge for all of you, if you would take it on. I hope you will. This week, and I won't be here next week to check on you, but I hope you'll take it on. It'll be between you and God. This week, right now, I want you to think of one person in your life that you would like to have a little bit better relationship with. It might be a spouse, it might be a friend, it might be a coworker, it might be your kid, it might be a parent, might be God. I don't know who it is. But one person you would like to have a little bit better relationship with, and here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to reach out to that person, get together with them, either on a phone call or have coffee or however you connect. Get together with that person and share something about you that's more vulnerable than you would normally go with that person. So maybe something you're struggling with, maybe something you're wrestling with. Maybe it's, I'd like to have a better relationship with you. Are you interested in that? That's so risky, isn't it? It's so risky. But here's the good news. Even if they say no, at least you know. And now you're not wasting your time trying to get them to be something to you that they don't want to be. But if they say, yes, I want more relationship with you, wow, we can go forward. We can build something. Or maybe it's just sharing a struggle or something that has happened in your past or something that God's doing in your life or whatever it is. But take the time to sit down with someone and share something that you normally wouldn't share with them. And see what happens. And start with God. Because he really wants to know you more. I mean, he wants you to know him more, and he wants that relationship to be really, really close. He wants that for you with him, but he also wants that for you with others. Can we pray? Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you that you have called us to right relationship with you and others. And God, I ask that you would help us to move beyond our shame and our anger, our fears and our hurts. God, help us to move beyond all of that to step into the light of your love, the light of Christ, where there is no darkness at all. God, would you help us to move beyond ourselves. I'm just going to give you just a moment to think about who is that person that you want a better relationship with. And God, we pray that you would help us to step fully in the light. Thank you for the light that you brought to us at Pentecost. Your Holy Spirit, who continually invites us into the light of your love with you and others. And we love you and thank you for your grace to us. In Jesus' strong, life-changing name, amen.